James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What is it you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They replied, We are able. Then Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard of this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called to them and said to them, You know that among the Gentiles, those whom you recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. As most of you know, I have the honor of serving as Trinity School's seventh head of school. What you may not realize is that with my role in Trinity Church, I get to serve and worship in this church space 6 days each week. Sometimes I wonder why the folks that hired me didn't list that as one of the enticements to potential candidates. It's one of the great joys of my life. Like 2 days ago, this room was buzzing, as it always is, every weekday morning, with over 400 people, most of them children. Fridays are our guitar chapels at Trinity School, which means a few adults and even more kids situate themselves up here with their guitars and lead our happy congregation in songs drawn from the green books. Guitar chapel is one of Trinity's most beautiful traditions. The kids love it. The adults love it. Every week we have dozens of parents and sometimes a few alums and grandparents that decide that guitar chapel is how they want to start their Friday, reveling in the joy of singing and community that are the hallmarks of our chapel services at Trinity. Everyone's welcome, of course. You are welcome any morning you'd care to come, because we're here at 8:15 every weekday, almost without exception during the school year, singing together, praying together, coming together before God to listen to a bit of scripture and to hear a message of hope, and so start our days with the certainty that we are all God's children, all welcome in God's house. You could worship at Trinity 6 days a week, too. Today, of course, is Episcopal School Sunday, our day to especially recognize and celebrate the fact that among the many powerful ministries of Trinity Church is Trinity School. Let me take a moment to ask anyone here who goes to Trinity School, went to Trinity School as a child, sent or sends their children to Trinity School, works at Trinity School, or in any way has contributed to the work of Trinity School, to please stand up for just a moment. Wow. Wow. Now I'd ask that all be seated except those who work at Trinity today, whom I think we should all applaud for the wonderful work that they do in this place. Thank you. It is perhaps the greatest professional honor of my life that I get to represent and serve these talented and dedicated women and men who are doing God's work in our school every day. It's one of the goals included in our school's new strategic plan to find more ways to link the school with the church, to join one another's activities and find ways to synergize the energy and expertise of both institutions to advance the missions of each. In the crush and hubbub of day-to-day life at our school, it can be easy to lose sight of the important truth that Trinity School is indeed part of the essential work of this parish in advancing the kingdom of God. That is something I remind the faculty often. At Trinity School, we are engaged in holy work. We are building up the kingdom of God one child at a time by shaping the next generation as capable and compassionate, as intelligent and kind, by building upstanders who will make a positive difference in the world. To help me explain that Trinity School difference this morning, I want to take you back to today's gospel story. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, ask Jesus what sounds like a pretty forward and maybe even presumptuous question. Can we sit one at your right hand and one at your left when you come into your glory? Now, when the other 10 disciples hear this, the story tells us, they began to become angry with James and John. But it seems clear that they're not mad at the question so much as mad that James and John should somehow get preference over them. They seem to be saying, we know there are only 2 choice seats, and it's not fair that James and John want to hog them for themselves. There is much irony here. Jesus has just gotten through telling his friends in the few verses before our reading today how hard it's going to be on that road to glory. Jesus says, the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. From our vantage point in history, we know the irony of asking to be on Jesus' right and left when he comes to glory. For that's exactly where the bandits will hang crucified on either side of Jesus when he breathes his last. In short, those disciples don't know what they're asking for. But Jesus does. The sons of Zebedee, like all the 12, and if we're honest with ourselves, like all of us, are caught up in the all too familiar trap of what's in it for me. This kind of self-absorption is, truth be told, part of the human condition. As Jaina Childers, Dean of San Francisco's Theological Seminary, puts it, we all have Zebedee DNA in our genes. And the root, I think, of such self-interest is fear. Will we have enough money to be comfortable? Will our children become self-sufficient? What if one of us gets sick? What do people think of me? Do they like me? Am I important? It is insecurity that drives us to selfishness, greed, and coveting. It is out of fear that we seek worldly status and security for our future in the things of the world, even though we know in our heart of hearts that such things can't hold us up at the end. It's fear that causes us to be like this and not like this. But Jesus offers a different way. The gospel of Jesus is all about a different definition of success than the what's in it for me pursuit of power and glory sought by James and John. A different goal from striving toward than personal gain at the expense of others, which is the perspective that seems so deeply embedded in the way of our world as we know it today. Dr. Walter Wink, Professor Emeritus of Biblical Interpretation at Auburn Theological Seminary in New York City, calls this prevailing worldly system of values the domination system, where power is excised over others, where rank and hierarchy dominate social organizations, where there are winners and losers, insiders and outsiders. And our primary goal is to ensure we come out on top over them. Jesus teaches a different way, a way of self-sacrifice in love, a path of discipleship that's about compassion, not competitiveness, that's about inclusion rather than power over others. Imagine the freedom and peace that could be ours if we could let go of striving for personal gain. But instead, we could work hard in a way that raises every boat, creating an inclusive community based on the innate value of every human being and our responsibility to respect and serve Christ in them no matter what. Imagine a community where those values could be at the core of how we live with each other every day. Which brings us back to Trinity School. As part of our faculty training earlier this month, we spent an afternoon watching and talking about the bio documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor, about Fred Rogers and his work on the PBS television show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, from 1966 to 2001. I wonder if you remember Mr. Rogers. He was from Pittsburgh. If you haven't seen the documentary, I strongly encourage you to do so. Fred Rogers had a way of connecting with children over the otherwise impersonal medium of television that has never been surpassed. His deliberate pacing, lovable puppets, and ever-gentle voice were his practical tools, but his brilliance was his message. I like you just the way you are. Mr. Rogers respected children enough to talk seriously about hard topics like war and violence and death in ways that could help children process the emotions they felt about these things that were and are part of every life. His was not a sugar-coated message that everything was easy in life, always filled with happy things. But he never left any doubt that all people were valued, all were deserving of care and respect, and that each child's unique gifts were needed for the world to be as wonderful as it could be. When we are at our best at Trinity School, we live that philosophy too. Now, I can't stand here and say that ours is the perfect Christian community, or that there's no competition at Trinity, no striving or grasping, no human condition. But I can say that at Trinity, every day in this room, we pause together in the loving presence of God. We shift our focus to the Christian ethos of kindness and generosity. We realign our moral compasses together away from the what's in it for me and aspire to something more. What we do here is immerse our children in a community of care founded on the message of Christ that calls them consistently and dependably to gentleness and generosity, honesty, kindness, and courage. That shows them that service gives more satisfaction than selfishness, and that a life of faith is the life most worth living. By starting daily with chapel, by talking about the events of life in the context of faith, we are giving them the most important gift of all. We're awakening them to the reality of their spiritual selves and to the reality of God in their lives. By awakening them to their true identity as children of God who loves them and wants to be in relationship with them, we're offering more than a framework for their morality, powerful though that may be. We're also offering them two other precious, precious things. Two things Christ offers each of us if we can learn to know him. The first is the potential for leaving behind fear. If one can really learn to trust God, and children come to this so much more easily than we do as adults, if we can learn that the true treasures in life are those stored where neither moss nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal, then we can cease our anxious grasping, our need to get ahead over others, and revel in the joy that comes from service and discipleship and unconditional love. And the other thing we can offer these children is hope. We know that every life includes hardship and sorrow. People we care for will die. We will experience loss, and things will not always be easy or happy or calm. So we work to build a foundation of faith in what lies beyond this world, ever constant, ever loving, holding us in times of trouble, sustaining us through the dark times, suffering with us, and offering the promise of a glory beyond anything we, in our limited perspective, can even conceive. Every school teaches academic skills and gets their students ready for the next step in their educational journey. And your school here at Trinity does that exceptionally well. But our real ministry at Trinity Episcopal School is to instill an ethic of compassion, offer freedom from fear, and remind each child who they are and whose they are. That isn't just our school's ministry. That's the ministry you and I are called to every day as Christians, no matter how we direct our labor. May God bless us and empower all of us for this holy work every day. Amen.